Today is November 1st, 1983, and this is Peg Korsmo Kennan interviewing Harriet Oftedal in her home near Alma City. Okay, well, I thought maybe we should begin, and it's always a good idea to start kind of with your birth and where you were born, and just get some biographical information first, if you don't mind talking about that.
I was born right where we lived, right now, right here, and Alton Township. Is it town?
Yeah. What section is this? That's okay.
We can get it for you.
No. Okay. That's not that important. It's just out, just west of Alma City.
Alma City, right next to Alma City it is.
On County Road 9.
Mm-hmm. It goes right next, that's Alma City, right east of us.
Mm-hmm.
Is the border.
So you're right outside the city limits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So,
and when were you born?
May 28th, 1917.
Okay. And what was your maiden name?
Kruger.
Okay. I know you had told me that.
Kruger.
And what were your parents' names?
Emil and
Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you had mentioned before that they didn't start out on this farm.
No. They lived southeast of Alma City. I think it was called a Heath place. And they bought this place from Herman Gates in 1812.
Mm-hmm. Did you have brothers and sisters?
Two sisters.
Mm-hmm. And what are their names?
Evelyn was Mrs. Herbert Clausen. She died in 1977. And the other sister was Hattie Ann, married to Rudy Mole, and she's still living in Omaha.
And there was just the three daughters?
Mm-hmm. There were just the three of us.
Oh, does the Kruger family go back a long ways in Waseca County? Or?
I don't believe so. My father was adopted by the Pratsky family.
Hmm.
And they brought him up, I think. They got him when he was about 3 years old.
Which Bratsky was that?
Charles Bratsky. Mm-hmm. And they lived in this area too. Well, south and east a little bit. Before you get to Walter. And my mother was a Brandenburg. And they lived down in that area.
And what was her father's name?
Her father's name was Herman. Herman Brandenburg.
So they met probably being
neighbors. And then they attended the Freedom Church, which at that time had a parochial school. That's where they went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them were from farming families, so they just never went beyond that. And I guess there was a rural school, because I remember my dad telling about going to school there, and I see the teacher wearing the same dress all the time, about two dresses during the whole year.
So your father went to the public school, or did
mm-hmm.
he go to the...
Well, he went part of the time to the parochial school when they had the religion, but he went to this country school too.
And so both of your parents came from farming background, and then they bought the farm down south of here and then moved here in 1920.
No, they rented that farm.
They rented it?
Okay. Mm-hmm. They rented that farm, the Heath place.
So.
And then they bought the farm.
Well, when, might be a hard question, but what's your earliest memory of Alma City? Did you have any old images of what it was like when you were a girl?
Well, I remember back when they had spring kindergarten for 6 weeks. So that would have been about 1922. I remember that, and going there for 6 weeks in the spring, half days, and then you start first grade in the fall. And at that time, that was taught by Anna Bergstrom, and the school had four grades, first four grades on the first floor, and the next four grades.
See you guys.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
On the upper floor. They were taught by sisters. Esther had the lower grades and Anna had the upper grades. And then it's stayed that way until they merged with, well, then I guess in the late 30s. They made one room of it. But until then, they had two. Then they made one room, and then later years they merged with the Carmelite School District.
The school, can you describe where the school was located in Alma City?
Well, it's the road that goes past St. John's, and right as it bends, that's where the school is located.
I don't know if it has a name on it, but it's that.
Well,
it's the westernmost street.
Oh, we got it marked way over here.
Oh, yeah, here. Is that correct?
Hmm.
On this 1937 map, it has it on it. Between Alton Street and Main. Did you ever call them Alton Street?
No. I never remembered any of the streets, Center Street or Main Street. School was there within a school, so that's where it was. But, See, this looks like there's a street here, but I don't remember the street I was going through.
Mm-hmm. And this is just a
this
flat,
be.
So it may never have been developed. And there was a two-story school and then a single-story school?
Yes. I don't remember that ever being an operation, but there was. It was, a high school. Now, how far are if it was just 2 years or 1 year? I don't know, but I've heard them talk about that.
About the two-story school?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. First teachers, though, that I remember are those Bergstrom girls.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you could maybe just talk more about the school. Do you remember other teachers who taught and...
Well, they were followed then by Gladys Johnson. She had the lower grades, and at that time, the mini Dahlman had the upper grades. And then after mini Dahlman was followed by Hattie Consolas in the upper grades. And in the lower grades, I think the next teacher was, I believe it was Loretta Murphy. And then after that, I don't remember just how they followed, but there were the Prale Kuhlman girls taught. Emma Kuhlman taught in the lower grades, and her sister Annetta taught in the upper grades. Recent years, though, one of the later teachers afterwards was a Mrs. Edgar Finley taught. She was one of the last teachers that taught there at a school.
And you said in the late 30s it became just a one-room school where there was just one teacher? Or one teacher?
I believe it was later than that. But they had one room. No, that was right, about in the late 30s, where they had the one room. That would be about right.
Do you remember when it consolidated with the Pemberton?
I just couldn't give you the exact date on that. I remember they had meetings about it, but it was voted to join because it wasn't feasible anymore to keep the school for such few pupils.
Mm-hmm. Do you think people felt that was the best move, or how did they feel about consolidation?
Well, I think probably they felt that it was best for the children, they could offer more. But I think there's always this feeling, you're always reluctant to make a change. It's hard to see that for some people. I just never heard anything too controversial about it, as I remember it now.
After you finished eighth grade, then you went on to high school in Pemberton?
Yes.
It was in Pemberton.
Mm-hmm. And then there was a bus that just up here at Elma City.
Oh.
And all the high school students from the Elma City area got on the bus. And the bus driver was Matty Fox.
Hmm.
Matty Fox lived south town. Of course, he lived in the Paramount District, but he made this. And then in wintertime, when the roads were real bad, then he used to take the sleigh.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. How far is it from Alma City to Pemberton?
Oh, about 4 miles. But we probably went farther than that because he didn't always make a direct route. He'd pick up his other children, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that he had on this river from the mountain.
But how many children went from him?
Well, he went a lot, probably. Because some didn't go on. Some, when they finished the 8th grade, that was it. And some went on. I don't think there were more than 4 or 6 that he picked up here.
When you think of your school days at the school in Alma City, what kinds of lessons did you have, or what was the interior like? Do you have any memories or recall of that?
As a student?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we always had a Christmas program. I remember that. We always had a Christmas program, and it usually was given in the town hall. Not at the schoolhouse, but usually it was given in the town hall. And there was always a picnic for parents and all the last day of school at the end of the year. And as far as the academics, I mean, it was reading, writing, arithmetic. And I think a big difference in the writing, they started out with cursive writing almost right away. You start out printing your name in capital letters, but as soon as you had that mastered, they started you out writing in cursive writing. Whereas now they don't start until end of second grade or even until third grade, start cursive writing. Which I think is better to do it the way it is now until you've got a handle on your reading. Because I think then the two go together, your reading and your writing. You're learning two different things at the same time. And I remember we did quite a bit, the pupils did quite a bit of writing on the board. Just writing, practicing writing, and also doing your math problems. So I'm going to go to board. And reading, oh, I remember reading Henny Penny, one of the favorite stories, I guess. I would read that. And we had a little library of books. Of course, they were limited compared to what they are now, but we had a little library where we had a few little books to read, extra books.
Did the parents, the school board, take care of most of the maintenance and of the school and the schoolyard? Do you remember your family being involved with that at all?
As far as janitor work, usually in country schools, the teachers started on fire, but I think they always had a janitor start the fires here.
And that would be a coal fire?
Mm-hmm. Coal. I think probably some wood. I think it was usually a coal stove.
Did you go home for lunches, or did you stay?
Yes,
you were close.
I did most of the time. Mm-hmm.
Were there are some children who stayed?
Well, those, oh yes. Like some of them usually lived a mile from school. They would bring their lunches and eat lunch right there at school. And then, of course, recess time and noon hours, they'd go out and play ball. And then they did have the swings then already. They used to play the swings. I remember they play this game, Annie Over, with a ball over the woodshed. But I don't remember that the teachers went out and with the children too much. You more or less made up your own games as you went on. So evidently they must not have gotten into too much trouble, because I just don't remember it, if they went out or not supervised. Not like they do, you know, in your consolidated schools. There's only somebody out there supervising, probably even after.
Mm-hmm. When you went on to Pemberton, and you graduated in about 1939?
No, 34.
34.
From high school.
High school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was Okay, I guess that would be. Then you went on to teacher's college, or
yes,
did you?
Yes, went to Mankato State then, after high school, in the mid-30s, from 34 to 36, and then you could teach on 2 years.
Did you live in Mankato when you went to school?
I stayed at a private home. It was just too costly at that time for our family for me to stay in the dorm, which I think is kind of ideal for anybody going to college. But it was just too costly, I mean. I stayed in a private home with kitchen privileges, and just cooked our own meals. And I brought a lot of food from home. So, because, I mean, the folks had cattle, my mother baked bread and things like that, so it was about the cheapest way you could do it. Mm-hmm. And this particular home on North 6th Street, they had 3 rooms fixed up for light housekeeping, and they were all, well, they didn't all go to Mankato State, but a couple of them went to commercial college, and one started out Mankato State, and then she went, changed to beauty school. So they were all involved in going to school, and they were all about the same age.
And you came home occasionally on weekends? Or?
I came home almost every weekend.
And when you finished, did you begin teaching in the area, or did you?
Yes, I started teaching near St. Clair.
And was that a rural school?
Sure, that was a rural school. Started teaching for $55 a month. Unreal.
In about 1936 or 37? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then you lived with the family?
During the week, I did. Uh-huh. I stayed there from Monday to Friday. But there I had to do my own janitor work, start fires.
How long did you stay at that?
I just stayed there 1 year, and then I went to taught here in Elm City, right going to school.
Okay, I thought you had told me. Mm-hmm. And how long did you teach here?
I taught 4 years. Then we got married, and when you got married in 40, there just wasn't another married person teaching at that time. You just automatically quit. I don't know if you really had to, but you just never heard of a married person teaching. And then when my husband was drafted, then they couldn't get a hold of a teacher again. So I was staying with the folks while he was in service. So then I taught that year when he was overseas. So I toolified as my time. And then I didn't go back to teaching until in the 60s.
Do you think during the Second World War, that's when married women began to teach?
I think that's when more of them did. Mm-hmm. But if they did, because, I don't know why more of them would have done it then before. Probably some went back because they were lonely and it was something to do and income too.
Yeah, it's because because women dominated the teaching field anyway, so
you
it wasn't a shortage.
You heard of a man teaching grade, you know. Now you do. You have men teaching first grade. You hear of it every once in a while. They're definitely still a minority. There aren't too many of them, but you hear of it, so it isn't solid.
When you think about the Alma City in the 1930s. I remember you gave me a clipping of the Kraske fire, mm-hmm. right? Kraske. Mm-hmm. That was in the 30s. I think it was.
I believe so. I think you made that from that clipping I had.
Yeah, it was a nice clear.
Mm-hmm. I think I've got that.
Oh, that's okay. Because I just thought it
I
would
remember, let's see, it would be, it must have been in the late 30s when that happened.
Because were you back teaching in Alma City?
Well, I don't know now if I was teaching out of, was going to school or if I was teaching. I know I was home at the time, mm-hmm. but I think it happened on a weekend. So I probably wasn't teaching here. Yeah. I remember being home though.
Yeah, I think
the fire was at night.
Yeah, I remember they said it was And it was a weekend, too. Mm-hmm. So, well, thinking back to, I guess I mentioned that to try to get you to think back to that era, if you could remember what it was like to go to town and why families went to Alma City, what brought, and what kept it going.
There were, it was quite a little business town. Mm-hmm. For as small as it was, quite a little business town. They had the creamery, which brought in all the farmers at least 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And the farmers brought their cream in, and it wasn't picked up. They didn't sell the milk at the creamery, just cream. And the farmers brought their cream in, and I remember my dad always carried his up in a cream can, and just going from our place up there. And then there were two, they called them general stores, that also bought poultry and eggs. So a lot of the farmers would bring their cream, bring their eggs that they had to sell, and then like the eggs, if they had any number of chickens at all, they would get enough from their eggs to buy the groceries and take home enough money so they could buy the clothes too. And that was usually the farmer's wife's spending money, what she got for the eggs. And then besides the groceries, they also carried a lot of other things too. There was some clothing, not a lot of it, but I mean in a pinch you could get a pair of overalls or a shirt or a pair of boots. And a little hardware, like just a general store, sewing thread. I don't remember them having material, but maybe they did. But it was generally their biggest selling thing were the groceries, and they had quite a line of groceries.
And that's where your family bought their groceries. Mm-hmm. What were the names of the general stores?
Well, and
that you remember going to.
Okay, the one on the corner was Kresge's, and before it was Kresge's, it was operated by a Pagenkopf, Carl Pagenkopf. There were three brothers, and they each had a general store. Carl had the one in Alma City, and Walt had the one in Pemberton, and Earl had the one in St. Clair. And the one in St. Clair is still operated by his son.
Oh.
Grocery store.
Is it Lowell. Called
Pagenkopf? Mm-hmm. Oh. Lowell is his son's name. But it was the three brothers, and Carl was the one that one had it in Alma City, and then he, I suppose, sold it out to the The other store, when I was a youngster, that was a Kipling store, operated by Fred Kipling, and then his son was with him, Everett. And then later that was operated by Lyle Berg and Irvin Davis. And after them it was Alfred Doss. He was the last one that had that completing store.
And that was on the east side of the mm-hmm. main street?
Mm-hmm. That would have been about right in here.
Right about there. And
mm-hmm. Is yours like mine?
Yeah.
Sweet. Oh, I see it isn't going through.
Okay.
All right, about there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the creamery was here.
On the corner of the, like, County Road 9 and the mm-hmm. main street.
At one time, I guess, before the creamery took that over, there was a store there, too, called J.C. Lowell, but I don't remember it. And over here is where Kresge's, right there. Huh? That's Kresge's store there.
Okay. I'm going to number those so I have them. Kresge's is K-R-A-S-K-E.
Right. And then next to the creamery right in here was a harness shop.
Okay.
Right here.
I'll do that, number four. And do you remember who ran the harness
yes,
shop?
Yes. That was the father to these Kresge boys.
So it was.
Kresge. And then Mrs. Kresge also had the post office in that building. same building.
Oh.
And then for a while there were three beer places.
And that was after Prohibition.
Right. Yes. It has to be.
Yes. So,
and
where were they?
Okay. One was, let's see, there was a house.
Just a second.
There.
I think I'm going to check my. Okay, we're doing fine.
See, there was a house here and a house there, and it was right in between. Just across from the store was one. The other one was the Kraske building that's still there, and the Poda's house, and then right there, that's used as a home now.
Okay.
About there.
That was right on the main.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't on the corner, but it was right in there.
Okay.
And the other one, see, here's a creamery. It must have been right about in here.
Right up before this alley?
I believe so. Right in there.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And then down here was the blacksmith shop. Mm-hmm. Right about there was the blacksmith shop.
Do you remember who owned those different bars?
Mm.
Or any of them? Did Aquati?
Yes, they run it for a while. Whether or not they were the first ones, I don't know.
And that was this number six?
That was six.
Because Henry Quaddy showed me a photograph.
That's right. He did?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But I can't think now who owned this one across from the store or who operated it.
And that was just 3-2 beer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did they attract a pretty good clientele?
Well, I think they did.
Mm-hmm.
Then, let's see, one thing we haven't got in. Mm-hmm. See, number four is a harness shop?
Yeah, harness shop.
All right.
And post office.
Between the harness shop and the store,
okay.
And there, that's where the town hall was.
Oh, that's important. Okay, that's number nine.
Mm-hmm. And that was used for dances. It was used for plays. Anniversary parties. I remember medicine shows being there. All the medicine shows at that time.
What did that,
I have to think what the right name is for it now. But there'd be a group of people would be traveling through the country and they would put on a show and then they would sell
patent
products.
Medicine.
Yeah, kind of a patent medicine deal.
Hmm.
Let's see. Well, just about any social function, you know, that was too big for a home, that's where they could have it. Because the church didn't have a basement at that time, so they had all their dinners there, big dinners, social dinners, whatever.
Did they have the hall downstairs or upstairs, or was
it? It was on street level. There was no basement in it, street level. And it was heated with a wood stove. And it had a stage at one end. Raised stage, so that, I mean, it could be given, the plays could be given on it. That was the purpose of it, I guess. But that's where the band always sat while they played, too. And a couple cloak halls on either side as you came in. There wasn't really any kitchen equipment to mount anything, as I remember. Everybody had to bring in whatever they were going to use, and they had to bring it in.
Hmm.
There was a balcony upstairs. I remember that.
How did you get up the stairs?
There was a stairway over to one side. You threw kind of a cloak hall, went upstairs.
And how did you Do you remember any dances or any major band that ever came there during the 30s?
Well, Jack Doyle played there a lot. Jack Doyle was one of them that played a lot. And another orchestra was Eddie Meltz that played, that I remember.
Were those local, or were they people
Yes, Jack Schultz was Jack Doyle. Jack Doyle was from Waldorf area. This Eddie Meltz was, I really don't know where he lived when he played around here, but I know that he moved to California, and he had a nice band.
And it was big band music, or old-time music, or what?
Well, I think a little of each. Old-time and playing some of the new ones. This Eddie Meltz, what I remember about them is what they had a set of chimes with their orchestra. That's what I remember about that one.
Did you go to dances?
Oh, yes. I started dancing, I think, before first grade.
Card ones. Here it has a wonderful scrapbook from the 20s and 30s, isn't it?
Now, this was the wife of the one storekeeper that Fred Kapleen that I said
okay.
That's who she was, the wife.
And is she sitting on the steps of her home?
I think so.
Uh-huh. And that was in Alma City as well, or did they?
Yes, this was in Alma City. It was right, this first house that you come to where St. John's lived. Uh-huh. That was the Kapleen house. This is the minister that baptized me.
And his name was?
Schaefer. Of course, that's on a visit when he came back. Mm-hmm. Here's the story of 1933.
1933, okay, because I thought I just read through some of that before I came.
But I mean, some people had their golden weddings there. I know the folks had their silver wedding there at the town hall.
Mm-hmm.
Someplace in here I got, oh yes. One of your favorites. And there's big card parties.
What kind of games did they, what card games did they play?
Usually piffer. And I remember them playing euchre. Now, whether they played euchre in the tournament, I don't know. I just got the places and the dates. Meltz I got down. I was just going to see if I had any of the Meltz's dance again. Who they would be. But those are two that I remember. And then they used to put a little band around your wrist when you bought your ticket.
Oh, and so you have all the different colors from the different days.
Yeah, Alma City, so they gave a lot.
Did people come from quite far away?
Yes. I mean, you mentioned, they did, it seemed. Come from,
Who sponsored them? Was it the city that sponsored them, or how were
well,
they?
Well, a lot of them were wedding dancers, and of course, then it was sponsored by the family. And then, they'd have some of these other ones, I don't know. Somebody just say, we'll get the dance and hire a band and charge so much. Whoever wanted to try it, I suppose. That part, I don't remember who really, a sorghum dance at Elma City. Can you imagine what that would be?
So, no, I don't know what that would be.
Evidently, somebody probably gave sorghum for prizes or something. Well, I thought maybe I had some of the bands done, but I haven't.
The Dairy Maid dance.
Yeah. Now, the Dairy Maid was, I think that was dance hall by Norwichian, called the Dairy Maid. I was looking through some diaries. You mentioned something about the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read, like, in one year in one of the year, late 30s or in the early 40s. We went to 62 movies in 1 year.
And where did you go to the movies?
Usually Mankato.
Uh-huh. You drove all the way to Mankato?
Mm-hmm. Once in a while, Janesville had a movie house, you know. Movie theater. And sometimes we'd go there.
Did they ever show movies in Alma City?
You know, I just don't remember what they did. Mm. It wasn't periodically if they did. It was just, I just don't remember they ever did.
Were there any other celebrations that were, I'll say, community events in Alma City, any special days or celebrations that they had?
You know, that they had annually?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe so. It was more or less just the church functions that would have. They didn't make it an annual thing, but some years they would give a dinner in the fall or like that. Some years. But it wasn't something they did every year. But some years they did. But it wasn't anything that was, you know, year after year, you know, like some people do.
Did they celebrate Memorial Day or 4th of July or anything?
I don't remember that they did. It was just too small. You know, there wasn't that much there to put in. I imagine was the reason for it, because just the two stores, you might say, and the yeah, I had this copy up there of the ones that went to school in the 30s. I think I had a picture of them. I took it up from here.
Yeah, the extreme stuff. Did they have a doctor in the, wasn't there a doctor that had an office in the Crescent?
Right, there was a doctor, but that was before my time.
Okay.
Before that, there was a Dr. O'Hara that was here for a while,
and then
Dr. Corey. And that was before.
So, since you...
Then another thing was this Milner shop I heard of, and that lady remembered, you know, it was her aunt, she came.
Who was that?
Mrs. Bill Myers, and she lives in St. Clair now. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and she sent me a little note, I remember that now.
Did they? It was her aunt that had the Milner shop. Now, I didn't know that until that day. I knew there, I had heard them say that there was a Milner shop at one time, but I never knew it was her aunt. Keen, K-U-E-H-N.
And did she say where they had it? Was it up on the north end of the
I would say about in here. Just the way she talked.
Okay.
Here's the intersection. Uh-huh. I would say right about in there.
Okay, we'll give that number 10.
Unless she meant right next to the store. Put a question mark there, there or there.
Okay.
She said something about that too. If it was there or...
Alfred Doss mentioned something about a Milner shop, you know, north. To also a flour mill, which I had never, or some type of mill.
I think in one of those articles that was mentioned, I hadn't heard it either until I read it. See, this picture shows another store, and I think they call that the J.C. Well store. This is the store that we'll look when Pagenkoff's had it. And then Kresge's bought it, they burned, and then they built the one that's there.
And this Lau, is that a relationship to Ida May Lau's husband?
I think so. I think they're related. It wouldn't be a brother to her husband, but they are related.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere or there. Mm-hmm. Probably cousin of them.
You brought up something. We were talking about the 40s. Do you... remember what you were doing during the 40s? Did you have any you taught, but was there anything that you did that was special towards the war effort, or that was, considered it was different, and if the war wasn't on, that you would have maybe not done it?
Well, in 40, June of 40 is the year we were married. Mm-hmm. So then, and then we lived in Pemberton when we were married, until he was drafted. And that was in 43 when he was drafted. And he was drafted, he left the first part of August. And then I came back here and stayed. And then our oldest boy was born in November.
And your husband was gone.
Mm-hmm. He was out in Oregon. Yes, where he was sent from Fort Snelling out to Oregon. And then he didn't get home till Christmas, so he was about a month old when he saw him. I was just looking through his stuff. That was one of the, I suppose, our special Christmas that he got home and saw him. And he, of course, had his furlough then. And then, the next spring, the following spring, and he, May. Then I went out to Oregon, and we were there until in July, and then he was sent to Fort Leonard Wood.
Where's that?
In Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was there until in November, and then they sent the whole group to base at Boston, and then I came home, and then they were sent overseas. So then when our oldest boy was a year old, his dad was just sent over to see his son. He just got over there. Yes. So then, that Christmas we were here with Grandpa and Grandma, and he was on his way to the front camp, mm-hmm. near the Rhine River. And then he was over there till January of 46.
Oh, that's long.
Mm-hmm.
So that was.
And I know we left the Christmas tree up until he got home. But, yeah. We had until the 20th, generally. And of course, during that time, you've heard of that. I mean, there were sugar rationing, mm-hmm. gas was rationed.
But it's interesting to hear how you coped with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you had so many stamps to use, and you just made them do that wrong, you know. And I know there were some, I know one time I was up at the store at Kipling's, and there was one of these older people who lived all south of town. They just didn't understand it, you know. They just bought, you know, like they always did, and all once their stamps were used up, and then they didn't have any stamps, and they just couldn't understand, you know, why they couldn't get any more. But you may do, and you substituted, like, I mean, recipes came out then with using honey, and of course now it's popular because of the, you know, wholesome food. But until then, you didn't see too many recipes with honey on. Yeah, and they were good. So, I mean, nobody starved or anything like that, you know. They just made do the same. As far as what was rationed, and as far as gas went, it didn't make much difference to me because it wasn't any fun to go by yourself. So, I mean, I went where I wanted to go, and no big deal there. So. Then they had the soldiers used some of these letters. What did they call them? Well, it was just like something like these notes now, where you write on one side and fold it up or send it. But they were, I didn't mean for those two.
Like aerograms or something.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, my sister gave me one that my husband had sent. Oh, well, she's gone. She just gave it to me that long ago. You see, this is all the bigger they were.
Oh, they were saving on paper.
Mm-hmm. This is from 45 in February. See, this is all the bigger they were.
Oh, so they...
V-mail, that's what they call them.
And they shrank the letter. They took
a... See, everything was censored. What you sent or what you got back.
Yeah, it's kind of almost like a photographic paper. So, were you able to correspond with your husband most of the time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd write every week. And he would write.
And he'd get the letters?
Now, he didn't always send these. He sent, you know, just a regular letter. It was always censored, you could tell that, but he wrote. Didn't always get them every week, you know. It all depends where they were or what they... I'm assuming it was... I don't know. I didn't even remember what this one. Well, this is a picture of my mother's family. Okay, so this is what I looked like about... in about... must have been about 30. That was my...
with the drop waist dress and white
that
socks
was in the 30s.
And shoes. It must be family.
And it was. It must have been, because that's my mother's family.
Yeah.
So. It might be. I remember my mother always said you should date everything.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, and this one isn't dated, so I don't know where. I think my sister had this and gave it to me. I don't know.
So you felt that life pretty much went on pretty normally during the war, except the or what?
Well, here, you know. I mean, there was no, you know, really a hardship. You know, you would hear probably a lot of people complain, you know. And as far as, it was hard to get some things. That's true. But, you know, it could always be worse, that's for sure. You know, things were limited. You can always buy whatever you wanted to, but I don't know. I don't think it was any. As far as food, I mean, you know, of course, I suppose if you're in a rural area, you're just used to using what you have at home.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the people in town did notice it more, that there were some things they couldn't get. But
was agricultural production different? Did you have notice that there was...
Well, as far as, of course, you know, farming wasn't as big then as it is now, you know.
Smaller.
Smaller farm, smaller machinery, you know. So, I mean, there weren't, we would say, such big farmers with them as there are now. Because Steve was a baby then, and even, like, he grew up then, you see, all the way through high school in this area. Well, then, when he was 20, he went into the Naval Flight Program for 5 years, and he was gone, and he was overseas 3 years. He was in Vietnam 15 months. Then he came home for furlough, and then he was sent over to Okinawa for 2 years. Well, of course, see, that would be a space of over 3 years where he was gone, and he just couldn't believe how things had changed as far as farming.
That was
the
in
big
the 60s,
machinery.
Late 60s?
He got home, 69. And he says, I think the people that are making the money, he says, are the farmers and the machinery dealers. But he just couldn't, you know, just grasp this big machinery that they buy. Well, now it's bigger than that now, you see. It's a changing thing.
Do you remember?
Hard to know what it's going to be like in 10 years. You know, it's changed so much in the last 10. You know, it would be. First, you see, when he was a little boy, and his grandpa was still in here, my dad never did have a tractor. He always did, you know, with horses.
Come on.
First, he wasn't farming anymore then, but he still had a couple horses. So, you know, progress has its assets and good things about it. But then, you know, like various experiences that he had that the younger children never did. I mean, he got to drive horses while the younger ones never did. And the little things that he remembers now.
And you did you live on the same farm place as your parents?
Mm-hmm. While my husband was gone, I lived right with them.
Mm-hmm. And then later you built a house?
Well, then after my husband got home in 46, then we bought this, it was just across the field, over there where Wentz lived now. There's a little house. And we bought that place, and we lived there till 57. And then we bought this farm from the folks. And we lived till 50. We didn't build till 64. We lived here for 7 years before we built it.
Did you notice any changes after the war, like in the 40s and 50s, as far as old appliances and things that simplified life? You know, you were talking about how the changes from horses to machinery. Did you notice anything in the home?
Oh, I think people just acquired more things. Like, I just thought it was something when I got a mixer. I didn't get that until about... Well, I don't think I had used one until I went out to Oregon when I stayed with that lady. I had kitchen privileges. I didn't have an apartment or that, but I had a room upstairs and then kitchen privileges where I could make my breakfast and lunch. And then she said, well, if you want to do my breakfast and dinner dishes, she said, then she said she wouldn't charge me for the kitchen. But, well, there's nothing to that. I mean, just so. But she had a mixer. And I could use her mixer, you know, I thought it was something. So then after the war, that's one of the things I remember getting. And I thought it was really something. So that was one of the first things. Of course, now, like, I think it was after war I got a pop-up toaster. I had one before, one where you flop up the sides, you know, like that. We used that. We had it in the camper until this summer, and then the wire went kaput in it. We always took that flop up. It didn't take up much room, and I didn't use it here, so we just left it in the camper. And then this year,
it lasted 40 years.
40 years, yeah. 42, I guess.
Maybe that got That's pretty good for an appliance.
I got it for a wedding present from those Kreskies I got in the store. It's just kind of handy. And I think, like, after the war, then people just got more appliances too. I think one thing after the war, I think it was hard for some of these boys that came home to get readjusted again.
Mm-hmm. What kind of problems did they have?
Well, as far as finding work and deciding what they wanted. You know, like farming had changed a lot. Now, like in our case, my husband had a farm-related job. It wasn't a farm job, but a farm-related work. He was independent. He had a portable feed mill. And he went to the farmers would call him and, you know, tell him he'd like that feed ground on a certain day. And he would go to their place and grind the feed right there in their place, whatever they wanted, for hogs or for pigs or whatever they wanted in the amount. And it was, see, he owned the feed mill himself. Well, then when he went into service, he sold the feed mill to the elevator, and then they went out from the elevator.
Which elevator was that?
Up here, remember? And went ground feed. Well, being gone 2.5 years like that, well, there was quite a few changes. A lot of the farmers then went into buying their own smaller feed mills. Just left it there, just smaller ones then. I know he bought a feed mill, and it just didn't work out. You know, there was too many people that you just didn't realize how many people had their own feed mills. You know, you just kind of thought you kind of knew life, but just something. But there were a lot of them like that. You know, that came back and took a while to find them. So you just did odd jobs wherever you could find it. You know, help out farmers here or do that. And he's quite handy at painting. Years and years ago, he used to paint with his brother, his oldest brother. That's what he did for a long time.
Painter. Homes and outbuildings?
Interior painting as well as outdoor painting, both. And
is this his handiwork?
Mm-hmm. He did all the finishing. When we built the house, he did all the finishing on it. The floors and the woodwork, the walls. Like that. So he did some of that. And then there was a fellow that had a school bus, was ready to retire, and sold the school bus to him. So then he did that for 30 years. And I worked in the community fund. Of course, you heard a lot about the Vietnam veterans. Of course, you know, they feel like they're put down, so I think that's more that feeling than the use of this job bit, as far as they're concerned, you know. But I think there's a lot of it in any war. When you think
because
they're
they
gone
all
so long.
Come back
mm-hmm. And then when they come back, you get it readjusted again.
Did you know any women who went to work, like in war-related industries, or because they would never have probably gone?
Well, let's see.
There wasn't too much in Waseca County to do.
I'm just trying to think if I knew anybody. See, we lived at Paramount at that time. There were quite a few young people our age at that time, and yet we had like a little birthday club. There was about a dozen of us, and of that club, I think there were only two of the men that were drafted. Of that whole group. Now when we go to the reunions, and he's with, you know, the fellows that he was with while he was in service, and always, he's one of the older ones again.
Hmm.
Now like he's 68, a lot of the fellows are in their early 60s.
You know, so
he
says.
Yeah. He's just
a little older.
Mm-hmm.
And you said just you went to a kind of an interesting reunion. Was it, you just got back 3 weeks ago, was it, from
mm-hmm.
your tour of Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Was that with these
people? The people that went on this tour, they were all fellows that had been there in 45, all of them. They're all veterans. They were there in 45. It was interesting. It was nice. We didn't know any of them. Of course, you got acquainted by the second day, you know. But, I mean, they weren't none of the fellows that went, they were in the 7th Division, but none from his company that he was with. Some of the fellows from his company, they went other years. Now this is a fourth trip that this fellow has organized to go over. Mm-hmm. And some of the people that have been in his company had gone, you know, but this time he was the only one that went this time from his company. But it was interesting. And then you see a was their enemy over there? No, we were their guests. No.
So
like they said, we were doing what they told us to do, just like the boys from here went over there and did what they were told to. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a choice of what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe as this
concludes, it's almost done now. Is there anything about Alma City that you can, or the changes, or just your impressions of Alma City that you can?
Well, a lot of the buildings aren't here anymore that were. There used to be a big machine shed in this lot, right next. Now, I don't know if that was torn down or what. Anyhow, the fellow that owned the land, that was a Kresge too, an older brother to these fellows that had the store. So he used to have a thrashing machine, and he used to keep it there in that big shed. And then I don't know what it was used for after he quit, but that was like, well, then this next place where this fellow has all this livestock, you know, he's got chickens and he's got a few cows and pigs and even a couple turkeys. There was a house there, and that just burned about 3-4 years ago. That hasn't burned too long. It wasn't nobody living in it anymore, but there was a house there that through the years, people had lived. The fellow that had the blacksmith shop on the other side of town lived there in 04-01. He lives in Walnut now. And then this other place where that beer joint was, we said was about in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Then at the end, the church. It would be about in here. There used to be a house that I remember. And I remember that burning. It had a nice big porch on it.
Hmm.
And then there used to be another house over here. I don't know what happened to that one. Right next to St. John's house. Down that way. So
What?
But you know, I think in the plot it said that, well, this, you can tell, this was plotted way out here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only buildings I remember being here. Was it a big square house?
It didn't go very far south. It
must have not.
Because this, is there, yeah, there's a road that goes south.
Yeah, there's a road that goes south. But I don't remember any of this being part of the museum. And then over here, there's a house here, and then over here was a town hall one time. And evidently this one over here was built after that one. Now, I don't remember it, but some people do.
Talk about a town hall.
Mm-hmm. Right about, right on the corner.
I'll put it on the southwest corner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have heard of a creamery east of town. The first creamery was...
Well, I think that was where this blacksmith shop is now. Mm-hmm. Was now. It isn't anymore either. I mean, I think it was a creamery, then it was converted into a
blacksmith.
I think so. I might be wrong, but I think so.
I'm going to talk to Mr. Babitsky, I think.
He should know.
Now, who ran the blacksmith shop? Do you remember?
Yeah, Jack Below.
Oh, Below.
Mm-hmm. B-E-L-O-W. He lives in Walter.
Yeah, I've heard his name. What caused the decline, do you think, of Walnut City? What were some of...
Well, to start out with, years and years ago, what started out was the railroad was changed. That was the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like in the late 20s, you know, like when the creamery was going in these stores, and like there was a lot of activity at the hall, social events, I don't know what really started it going downhill. Going the other way, because the both of the stores had really a thriving business. Mm-hmm. See, they had this poultry business with it too, where they go out and buy eggs. Yeah, that's another job my husband did while he was trying to find himself. He worked for one of the stores for a while. Went out on the egg route to the pond to pick up the eggs,
huh.
And they bring them back here to the store and candle them.
And then sell them.
Next time around, they would give them the money, you know, for whatever they're. Eggs candled out, you know. They were all number one, so they're number one price.
And they were sold locally? The eggs were?
Well, then I think they were sold, taken by trucks to some towns. Mm-hmm. To some grocery. Because just about everybody around in the area had a few chickens, you know. Because I remember just carrying probably 6 dozen eggs up, 4 dozen eggs up, and buy a few groceries and bring some money back. And another thing that both of the stores had, they had these chips, they called them, and they used those instead of money.
Yeah.
You know, they looked like coins, but each one had their, well, the one had silver colored, and the other had copper colored.